not storming at that time of year. So we were 4 more days behind when we hit the Dock and Barrel. I didn't look back. Whatever I'd thought about Raven and his kids and obligations before, that wasn't interesting now. They were on the other side of the big water, and I was cured of wanting to be a sailor. If Raven suddenly decided he had to go back and balance accounts, I was going to tell him to go pick his nose with his elbow. The bunch we were chasing had left a plain trail. Raven's buddy had gone through Barrel like thunder and lightning, pretending to be an Imperial legate on a mystery mission. "Croker is in a big hurry now," Raven said. "It's going to be a long chase." I gave him a look, but I didn't say it. We bought new horses and rounded up travel stuff. When we headed out what they called the rubbish gate, we were 7 days behind. Raven took off like he was gonna catch up by tomorrow morning. Chapter 16. In the heart of the continent, far to the east of the Barrow Land, or the Tower, and Opal, beyond Lords and even that jagged desolation called the Windy Country, lies that vast, inhospitable, infertile, bizarre land called the Plain of Fear. There is sound reason for the name. It is a land terrible to men. Seldom are they welcomed there. In the heart of the Plain of Fear, there is a barren circle. At the circle's center stands a gnarly tree half as old as time. The tree is the sire of the sapling standing sentinel over the Barrowland. A few scabrous, primitive nomads who live upon the Plain of Fear call it Old Father Tree and worship it as a god. And god that tree is, or as close as makes no difference. But it is a god whose powers are strictly circumscribed. Old Father Tree was all a rattle. Had he been human, he would have been in a screaming rage. After a long, long delay, his son had communicated details of his lapse in the matter of the digging monster and the buried head and the wicker man's insane murder spree. The tree's anger was not entirely inspired by the tardiness of his son. As much was directed at his own impotence and at the dread the news inspired. An old devil had been put down forever, and the world had relaxed, had turned to its smaller concerns. But evil had not missed a stride. It was back in the lists already. It was running free, unbridled, unchallenged, and looked like it could devour the world it hated. He was a god. On the wispiest evidences, he could discern the shapes of potential tomorrows. And the tomorrows he saw were wastelands of blood and terror. The failure of his offspring could be precursor to the greater failure of his own trust. When his hot fury had spent itself, he sent his creatures, the talking stones, into the